Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, Radio Family. This is Sister Judith, and I do welcome you to the broadcast today. I've been ministering on a subject entitled A House for All Nations, and the house I'm talking about is the house of the Lord. Scripture tells us that God is dwelling these days in a temple not made with hands. Under the old covenant, He chose to put His Shekinah glory actually in the Ark of the Covenant, and also He did that in Solomon's temple, in the Tabernacle of David, as they worshiped in the tent around the ark. God chose to limit, if you will, in a way that the children of Israel could understand, a place where His physical presence was. However, we know that He fills the heaven of heavens. He is everywhere. He is every superlative you can think of. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipotent. He has all power. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at once because He's God. Now, our poor little finite brains can't comprehend all the aspects or attributes of God, but nonetheless, this is the God that we serve, and we need to have a much greater understanding of who He is. In today's world, even the Christian world, it seems we are not serving of the great, powerful, mighty God. It's as if we've limited Him, even as the children of Israel, who tested and tempted the Holy One of Israel and limited Him in the wilderness. But I was sharing on yesterday's broadcast that in some capacities, because we're made in His image and likeness, especially in our emotional realm, that of our heart, if you will, there is a family resemblance, if you will. And of course, even with man's reason and the intellectual capacities God has given him, we, in a very small measure, can understand some of the secrets of the universe. We'll never grasp them all because we are finite and limited. But we can relate to God, especially in the area of our emotions. God loves the nuclear physicist as much as He loves the retarded child. Love is the chief thing, beloved. It's the end. It's the summation of all things. It's the bottom line. We can never be like God in His attributes, but we can be like God in His character. In fact, we're commanded to be. Why? Because Jesus gave this definition, which is the epitome of love. No greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And He demonstrated that at the cross of Calvary. And we can demonstrate that by laying down our lives for our friends, if you will, for the household of faith, for the unsaved, for those whom God has on His heart, and not necessarily our physical lives to death, although in some places that is even being required, but by self-sacrifice, by putting others first, by seeking to really love and be concerned about the affairs of other people, not just all about our own concerns and our own needs. That's very childish. That's what a child is like. A child is just concerned about itself. And as that child grows and matures, he or she begins then to have an appreciation of other people, their feelings, how to deal with them. And the world does not revolve just around their desires and wants and the things they wish to do. And hopefully that's something every child can learn. If some adults are that way, it's like they've never learned the lesson of what it means to mature. And so, beloved, why have I been sharing all this? I've been talking about the house of the Lord. Well, this physical temple, if you will, that God, it's really not physical, it's a spiritual temple that is created, a habitation of God, created and made up of lively stones, that God is in the house cleaning business. He is, if you will, going through every room of the house to make it certain and sure that it is a fitting place for His eternal fellowship and companionship. And I'd like to share some passages found in the book of Malachi where we begin to have an understanding that God is going to judge sin and wickedness, and the unrepentant will experience the wrath of God. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But judgment begins at the house of the Lord. In other words, God begins His work of cleansing with the very people of God. Let me read in chapter 3, Malachi verses 1 through 3. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Now, literally, it was speaking of the sons of Levi. But, beloved, we, according to Revelation, are kings and priests unto our God. So God is going to do this work, and He's increasing it as we grow closer and closer to the very end of time. We are living in the end of the end days. You probably heard that statement various preachers are saying. Isaiah 33 and 14 says, "The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us will dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings?" And then that question is answered. "He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from the holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from the hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from the seeing of evil. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be, praise God, the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure." And then, do you remember, as recorded in the Gospels, in this case, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, it says, "Jesus went into the temple of God, and he cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and he overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." And then in the Gospel of John, there is a slight difference as he cleanses the temple a second time at the end of his ministry when he was preparing to go to Calvary. He said, "Take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise." And this was one of the most remarkable, dramatic displays of displeasure of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to spend sometime looking at the interpretation of this, literal as well as spiritual. Now, we have to understand that the money changers in the temple of the Lord at that time were actually there for a legitimate cause. We know that money is not evil, but it belongs to the world system. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. But what Jesus was saying, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And there we have to expand our knowledge and understanding of prayer. It doesn't just mean supplication or petitions, presenting our needs to the Lord or interceding for others, but it is a place of fellowship and communion. It is a place like the house of our Father that we will enjoy for all eternity, the mansions that He's preparing for us, a place where there is no wickedness, there is no evil, there is no sin, but the glory of the Lord surrounds, and His love and His peace and His presence permeates every aspect of creation. This is what God is seeking, and unrighteousness cannot dwell therein. And so He is causing the everlasting gospel to be preached by His people, by ministries. We now have the advantage of advanced technology, satellite. There's ways that we can promulgate the gospel in ways that were never available a few centuries ago. But also, there's nothing to take the place of one-on-one. That's why I believe God has blessed this ministry, because we have remained, if you will, quote-unquote, a relatively small ministry, but that's because there can be that personal touch. Some of the larger ministries are doing great and marvelous works, and they invite you to write for prayer, but they have a staff that answers the letters that come in, and it's not a personal ministry to the extent that the public leader of the ministry is not involved in doing that. They're doing wonderful things. They're focusing on things that they need to do. However, God's kept this ministry as a personal ministry. And so, beloved, we have to understand that's the heart of God. You know, frequently I've gotten thank yous from people that said, oh, I so appreciated that card. Nobody sends cards anymore. Well, that's because we got all these time-saving conveniences and no one has any time anymore. Have you ever wondered about that? Anyway, beloved, as I bring this broadcast to a close, I do want to invite you to write and share your prayer needs. The announcer is going to give our contact information, and with the Lord's help and assistance, we will continue on in this message tomorrow. I trust you'll be able to enjoy me. If not, just go to the website, unveilchrist.org, and you can listen anytime at your convenience to a broadcast you want to rehear or one that you missed. I love you. Thank you so much for joining me. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.
Oh,